And, of course, that was Danny Kaye singing from the movie Hans Christian Andersen. So you might have heard about a new worldwide trend of repairing broken stuff. And repair cafes are starting to pop up in many cities around the world. You can fix even your best shoes. Repairing shoes has always been considered a bit of a dying trade, dominated by old men. But reporter Sue Ahern talked to one of Australia's rare lady cobblers, a woman called Anna Timu, and she's in the inner-city Melbourne suburb of Carlton.
Anna, welcome to Travel Writers Radio.
Thank you for having me.
Do you call yourself a lady cobbler?
I think it's more of a coincidence that I'm a lady and a cobbler, but if you want to use the term lady cobbler, that's fine with me. Yeah.
So how did you get into this business?
It was kind of by accident. About 20 years ago, I applied for an RMIT shoemaking course, and it was just by fluke. I rang them one day and I was like, are you doing a course, yada yada. And then out of the blue, 3 months later, they accepted me in, and I started making shoes, which I found really interesting. And I think for me, it's not necessarily about design. I really like construction. I like knowing how things are made. You know, I love machinery, I love all that sort of stuff. So that was my kind of, you know, way in. And I kind of, at that point, I was like, okay, do I make shoes? And it's very difficult to make shoes in Australia. Well, it was back then as well. And I started doing repairs at RMIT, like just bits and pieces, really enjoyed it. And just got a couple of little jobs here and there through other repairers, like who had shops already, until I found a repairer that I really liked. And then I kind of worked under him for about nearly seven years, actually. And that's where I kind of honed all my skills and stuff. So that was really good. I enjoyed that. Yeah. And I don't know. And then one day I was like, okay, it's time for me to actually open my own place. And this is when I found the place on Nicholson Street. So it was perfect timing. Yeah.
How's it going?
I've got to say it's really busy. I didn't know if it was going to be busy. It was kind of like I didn't have lots of money behind me. I didn't have a lot of stuff. This, you know, like our shop, the way you see it, is built by, you know, favors that I've called in, family, friends, everybody helped out to kind of build what we have here. So I wasn't sure whether it was going to be successful or not. But I think perhaps it was a timing issue as well, because so many people are more aware of reusing and recycling that it was that perfect kind of match of like what's happening socially at the moment. And the fact that you can repair things and you don't necessarily have to buy, you know, I think it's a false economy really to buy cheap things every season. You're better off buying something that's good quality. Those things can be repaired 9 times out of 10, of course. But, you know, that's kind of where I found myself. And it's really busy. Like, I'm taking on people now to train them, you know. So I see no reason why we can't have repairers in every suburb, because there is so much work and there are so, you know, especially in a city, there are so many high rises going up. There is more density, more population. So therefore, you know, you can have a lot of repairers out there. So my goal is to have as many as we can going through here, hopefully, you know, and then then we can sustain what we already have as opposed to throw away.
Because we're starting to see a lot more repair shops in all sorts of areas.
Absolutely.
Across the city.
Yeah.
And so when you look at a lot of shoes, you know, no longer made in Australia, a lot of shoes now are made in China. How do they compare with how things were done in the past?
I don't want to say that they're worse, but I think the problem is that it's the bottom line, like the dollar, the bottom, you know, that sort of thing where people go, okay, I want to make as much profit as possible. Therefore, factories in China are forced to make things cheaper. So so the company who's ordering 5,000 pairs of shoes want to make them as cheaply as possible. Now, factories can't then make great, sustainable, handmade shoes with that price point, you know, it's impossible. So I think if, you know, it's not necessarily the manufacturers that have an issue, it's more to do with the companies who want to make cheaper shoes and sell them at a higher price, you know. So I think we've got to kind of go, okay, we've got to pay a little bit more for shoes, but then demand the quality as well. And I think China, places like China, Malaysia, Thailand, whoever's making them, and a lot of Eastern Bloc countries are doing it as well. If companies say to them, okay, we want a better quality shoe, please, you know, like, this is the money that we're going to put into it, maybe then you will see better quality shoes, because they're still made, but we're just not seeing it because of, you know, the bottom dollar.
Can you repair them?
Sometimes, you know. This is the problem with shoes that are, especially any sort of a rubber shoe, or you just don't know what they're made, what chemicals are made in them. And I don't know whether I can, like, in the past, you know, you'll stick something to it or try to stitch it and it just doesn't take. And it's because there's too much petrol in it, or you just don't know the compounds that they've used in the shoe, or it's too flimsy. It's not... People say, oh, it's so comfortable, it's so great, but the moment you start wearing it, and, you know, you find a lot of shoes, the soles will start to disintegrate. You just can't repair that. Like, it's just, it's gone after you know, that initial wear. It's really difficult. But a good quality shoe, especially a leather sole, and I know that a lot of you know, like, vegan wears shoes, they're getting better now, so you can actually start to repair them. But a cheaper version of that, you just can't.
What's the oldest pair of shoes that you've repaired?
I get a lot. I have a couple of customers who love their vintage shoes. So I'll get a lot from the 1930s and 40s. Beautifully made women's shoes, not necessarily men's, but just the construction and the leather they've used has stood the test of time. Like, these are shoes that are, what, 60, 70, you know, 80 years old. And they're still beautiful, and they're still sturdy and strong, and they just need a little bit of, I call it a little bit of love, like, just a little help with the soling, because obviously that's going to wear out over time. But the construction of the uppers, perfect, always.
Does being a lady cobbler, does that give you an advantage?
Look, I think aesthetically it does, because I'm being a woman as well, and being, you know, obviously, I want to look my best. So when women bring in shoes and say, for instance, if they need to get them altered in some way, like boots lowered or made smaller or larger or what have you, I think to myself, how would I want my foot to look in this? How would I want my leg to look in this? I'm always going to strive to make someone look slimmer or for it to fit properly without having it look like a repair. And I'm really lucky that a lot of women that come in here, especially also with handbags, you know, they trust the fact that I'm going to make their bag or their shoes look the best that I can, you know, can do. Because, you know, at the end of the day, like, I want them to come back and I want them to trust me. And, you know, that's it.
Are there many women working in this industry?
Look, not as many as men, but I think it's changing. I think more and more women are seeing the benefits of repair as opposed to making. I think a lot of people still have that, you know, that romantic idea of making shoes and making stuff, which is all great, and I think it's fantastic that it happens. But it's also the trade side of it, which is what we do. We do the trade side of, you know, footwear and, you know, bags and stuff. So I am seeing a lot more women do it and who want to do it, which is really great. So, yeah. It is changing.
Would you recommend it as a career for young women?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's hard work. It's physically quite demanding. So you've got to have some, you know, the nuts and bolts there sort of thing. But I think so. I think it's a good career, you know, and you can eventually run your own business, you know. And I think that's, you know, like, we all kind of want to be our own bosses, you know, at the end of the day. And I'm, you know, sometimes it is difficult because sometimes the business does run me. It gets incredibly busy over winter, so there isn't a lot of spare time. But, you know, maybe with more female cobblers, I'd have more rest.
And finally, do you have a favourite pair of shoes or boots yourself?
Oh, I've got a couple of brands that I really like. I think Acne make really nice boots. So do Fry, which is an American brand that's been around for, like, I don't know, 100 years or so. They're really well made. RMs are always a classic. Do you know? And I know that they're expensive, but they're worth it. They're really good. I think Habit shoes are really sweet as well. Like, I think they're made in Italy. It's a local, you know, designer here that makes them, Annie. She's really great. You know, they're really great. But I'm a sneaker freak as well, so I wear a lot of running shoes. They're very comfortable during the day, you know. But yeah, they're my faves. Yeah.
What do you wear when you're working? What do you wear?
Sneakers. I do. It's hard flooring. I'm on my feet for 12 hours a day. You know, I'm not going to do that in boots or leather soled shoes. I'm definitely wearing sneakers.
Well, thank you very much for telling us about your business and for being on the program with us today.
Excellent. Thank you, Sue. Cheers.
That was Sue Ahern there speaking with Cobbler or Coblet, Anna Timu, and she didn't mention Jimmy Choo. You don't have to be having sex in the city.
They're too expensive.
Yeah. Even the RMs aren't cheap, and I had those done the other day, $120 just for new elastic. I thought that was pretty rich.
Yeah.
Anyway, they're 20 years old, so I can't complain.
Oh, you can't.